Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Watch your roots here. Saturday morning. Starting to stay darker later. Still dark around here in Portland, Oregon. October the 12th, 2013, here, there, and everywhere. I was going to teach out of 2 Thessalonians this morning, but for some reason I just keep getting drawn back to the book of Nahum. And I'm not sure exactly what's supposed to just jump out at me, but I suppose since I keep getting drawn back to it for some reason, and I didn't even pre-read it, which is what I usually do, but I trust that everyone is having a wonderful, blessed Saturday. I like Saturdays because I get to come home early and spend my afternoon having some fun times fellowshipping in secret. I do. I go out in secret. It's kind of fun. Anyway, you know, I'm looking here in my book, which is the Living Bible Expanded Version, Extra Giant Print, paraphrased by Tyndale. I really like this Bible. I'm thinking about buying a couple of them and sending them out to my best friends. Anyway, this is the vision God gave to Nahum, who lived in Elkosh, concerning the impending doom of Nineveh. God is jealous over those he loves, and that is why he takes vengeance on those who hurt them. He furiously destroys all of their enemies. He is slow in getting angry, but once he's aroused, his power is incredible, and he does not easily forgive. He shows his power in terrors of the cyclone and in the raging storms, clouds that are billowing dust beneath his feet. And at his command, the oceans and the rivers become dry sand. The lush pastures of Bashan and Carmel fade away, and the green forests of Lebanon's wilt. In his presence, mountains quake and hills melt. The earth crumbles and his people are destroyed. Who can stand before an angry God? His fury is like fire. The mountains tremble down before his anger. They will indeed melt, according to the word. The Lord is good when trouble comes. He's a place to go. He knows everyone who trusts in him. He sweeps away his enemies with an overwhelming flood, and he pursues them all night long. What are you thinking of, Nineveh? To defy the Lord? Will he stop you with one blow? He won't need to strike again. He tosses his enemies into a fire like a tangled mass of thorns. They burst into flames like they are straw. Who is this king of yours who dares to plot against the Lord? But the Lord is not afraid of him, though he builds his armies like millions strong. The Lord declares that all of them will vanish. Oh, my people, I have punished you enough. Now I will break your chains and release you from the yoke of slavery to this Assyrian king. I will release you from these chains. And so To the king, he says, I've ordered an end to your dynasty, and your sons will never sit upon your throne. And I will destroy your gods and temples, and I will bury you for how you stink with sin. See the messengers come running down the mountains with glad news. The invaders have been wiped out, and we are safe. O Judah, proclaim a day of thanksgiving and worship only the Lord as you have vowed, for this enemy from Nineveh will never come again. He is cut off forever. He will never be seen again. Nineveh, you are finished. You are already surrounded by your armies. These are enemy armies. Sound the alarm. Man the rampart. Muster your defenses, full force. Keep a sharp watch, for the enemy is about to attack. The land of the people of God lie empty and broken after your attacks, but the Lord will restore the honor and power to them again. Shields flash red in the sunlight, and the attack begins. Their scarlet uniforms, their lightning, their glittering chariots moving forward, side by side, pulling and prancing, all of the steeds. And you pull your own chariots recklessly along the streets and through the squares, darting like lightning, gleaming like torches. The king shouts for his officers. They stumble in their haste, rushing to the walls to set up their defenses. But it is too late. The gates are open. The river gates are open. The enemy has already entered. The palace is already in a panic. Wow. You know, how many times have I heard Doug Hagman say, we are a captured operation? The enemy has entered. The palace is in panic. The queen of Nineveh is brought out naked to the streets and led away a slave. With all her maidens weeping after her, listen to all them mourn like doves and beat their breasts. Nineveh is like a leaking water tank. Maybe that's like the water tank that's over there in Fukushima killing us all. Her soldiers slip away, deserting her. She cannot hold them back. Stop, stop, she shouts, but they keep running. Loot the silver. Loot the gold. There's no end to all of the treasures they loot. Her vast wealth. It's all stripped away. The city is empty. It's left in shambles. The city is left in horror. The people's knees quake. The people stand aghast. The people are pale-faced, and they are all trembling. And then it is said, where now is the great Nineveh, the greatest lion of all the nations, full of fight and full of boldness? It is even now old and feeble, as well as the young and tender. They live, they do, lived unafraid. Where are they, O Nineveh? Once mighty lion, you crushed your enemies to feed your children and your wives and filled your city and your homes with captured goods and slaves. But now the Lord of hosts has turned against you and he destroys your weapon. Your chariots stand there silent and unused. Your finest youth are dead. Never again will you bring back slaves from conquered nations. Never again will you rule the earth. Woe unto you, Nineveh, city of blood and full of lies, crammed with the plunder. Listen. Can you hear the cracks of the whips of the chariots rushing forward against her? All the wheels of the rumbling horses' hoofs pounding and chariots clattering as they bump wildly against the streets. The flashing swords and glittering spears and the upraised arms of the cavalry. The dead are lying in the streets and the bodies are heaps of bodies everywhere. Men are stumbling over them, scrambling to their feet and trying to fall then again. All this because Nineveh sold herself to the enemies of God. The beautiful and faithless city, mistress of deadly charms, enticed the nations with her beauty and then taught them all to worship her false gods, who betrays the nations with harlotries and 51 years before this prophecy, bewitching people everywhere with her false gods, teaching them to worship. No wonder I stand against you, said the Lord of hosts, and now all the earth will see your nakedness and shame. I will cover you with filth, and I will show the world how really vile you are. All who see you will shrink back in horror. Nineveh lies in utter ruin, yet no one anywhere regrets your fate. No one. Are you any better than the Thebes, conquered by the Assyrian, standing by the Nile, protected on all sides by the river? Ethiopia and the whole land of Egypt were her mighty allies, and she could call on them for infinite assistance, as well as Put and Libya. But still, yet Thebes fell, and her people were led off as slaves. Her babies were dashed to death against the stones of the streets, and soldiers drew straws to see which would get her officers as servants. All of her leaders were bound and led off in chains. And Nineveh, too, will stagger and be just like a drunkard. She will try to hide herself in fear, but all of the forts within Nineveh will fall. They will be devoured like the first ripe figs that fall into the mouths of those who shake the trees. And all of her troops will be as weak and helpless as women. And the gates of this land will be open wide, and the enemies will set her on fire and it will be burned. So get ready, Nineveh. Get ready for the siege. Store up water. Strengthen the forts. Prepare many bricks to repair your wall. Go into the pits to trample the clay and pack it in the molds. In the middle of your preparations, the fire will devour you, the sword will cut you down, the enemy will consume you like young locusts that eat everything before them, because there will be no escape. Even though you multiplied like grasshoppers, merchants numerous as stars fill your city with vast wealth, but your enemies will begin, and they will be a swarm like locusts, carrying everything away. Your princes and your officers and all your officials will crowd together like grasshoppers hiding in hedges, like in the cold. But all of them will flee away and disappear like locusts when the sun comes out. They will hide when the sun comes out and warms the earth. O Assyrian king, your princes lie. They are dead in the dust. Your people are scattered across the mountains, and there is no shepherd now gather them. There is no healing for your wound, because your wound, O Nineveh, it is far too deep to cure. And everyone who hears about your fate will be clapping their hands for joy, because there will not be one who has not suffered from your cruelty. Write my answers large and clear so that everyone can read and tell and rush everywhere and tell everyone. These things that I have planned will not happen right away, but slowly and steadily and surely. This time approaches when this vision that I have given you will be fulfilled. If it seems slow to you, do not despair. For I tell you, and it is true, and it is not overdue a single day. These things will be fulfilled. These things will surely come to pass. Time is coming when all of the captives will taunt you, saying, "You robbers." Finally, justice has caught up with you, O Nineveh. And now you're getting your just deserts, because you have oppressed and extorted the whole world. And suddenly your debtors have risen up and have taken up their anger against you and turned against you and have taken all you have. And now you are standing there trembling and helpless. You have gotten rich by evil means, attempting to live rich way beyond your means. And by your own murdering, you have shamed your own name and forfeited your own life. You have built cities with money gained from murdering and from robbery. And the Lord decreed that godless nations that make gains this way will turn to ashes. And even though they work hard, all their work will be in vain. And the time will come when all of the earth is filled as the waters fill the sea with an awareness of the glory of the Lord. And a report will be made, and all of those, the prayer of triumph, "Oh, how I have heard, and I worship you in awe for the fearful things you are going to do in this time of your deep need." Begin again to worship as you did in years gone by. Show us your power to save us. And remember mercy. Where the lofty sun and the moon will begin to fade, it will be obscured by the brilliance from your arrows and from the flashings of your glittering spears. You marched across the nations and land in awesome anger and trampled down the nations in your wrath. You went out to save your chosen people. You crushed the head of the wicked and laid bare his bones from head to toe. You destroyed with their own weapons those who came out like a whirlwind, thinking that Israel would be an easy prey. But your horsemen have marched across the sea, and the mighty waters, they are piled high. They are piled high. Those mighty waters will be piled high, dashed in a day. It is quite true that the way to live a godly life is not easy, but an answer lies in Christ, who came to earth as a man and was proved spotless and pure in his spirit, and was served by the angels, was preached among the nations, was accepted by man everywhere, and was received back to heaven, where he received his glory. So stay true to what is good and right, and God will bless you and use you to help others. For it is our hope in this, that living this way, and to all those who have accepted this salvation, that we would teach these things and make sure that everyone learns them very well. God has made good those that he's redeemed. But he has clearly warned us that some will wander away and become eager followers of false teachings. They will say what is wrong and believe in their minds. They are seared without conscience. They are spiritually blind. And God will not bless what they ask blessings for, because they do not walk in godly ways. Our hope is only in the living God, who died for all, and particularly for those who have accepted his salvation, taking these things very seriously. The judgment day will reveal all of the truths. And those who deny the sound doctrines and the truths, and they refuse to teach the truths of the gospel and what's to come, they are not the ones laying the foundation of a good, godly life. They walk around proud and haughty and stupid, quibbling over the meaning of God's words and stirring up arguments, ending in jealousy, anger, which lead to name-calling, accusations, and evil suspicions. These are arguers. Their minds are warped in sin, don't know when to tell the truth, how to tell the truth, or what the good news of the truth is. They just preach for money. They want to be truly rich. They're not happy just being good. They're not happy and satisfied without money, having just enough food and clothing. Just beginning to do all kinds of good things. For do we not know, and has it not been said, for the love of money is the first step towards all kinds of sin. The love of money has pierced them and jaded them. Run from all these evil things and work instead for what is right, good, and learning to trust in God and then to love others, to be patient and kind and to fear God, to hold tightly to the eternal life which God has given you, which you have confessed with a ringing confession before all witnesses. Remember what is to come, because without the foundation of the blessed and only Almighty God and the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, who alone can now never die, he lives in a light so terrible that no human being can approach him. No mere man has ever seen him, nor ever will. Unto him be all honor, glory, and everlasting power, dominion forever and ever. Amen. For all those men who want to put their trust in money, their trust should be in the living God who always richly gives to us all that we need for our enjoyment. So do not fall into these foolish arguments about those who boast about their knowledge and thus prove that they have no knowledge at all. Strengthen yourself in the Holy Spirit. Put on the full armor of God. The chariots of fire are about to appear. Heaven's Jerusalem will be here. And those who do not have eyes to see, ears to hear, or heart to understand, will not see the veil being torn away. So with wise hearts, contrite hearts, asking for grace and mercy, for in due season, Christ will be revealed from heaven by the blessed and almighty God, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And it will happen in due time. Don't fail to do all the things that God has entrusted you to do. Let God's mercy be upon you. And do all the important things in life. Don't miss the people that God has appointed you to touch. And happy you will be when you stand in front of the great Creator God and know that He made you as part of His plan to save another, to give everlasting life and trust to another. Tightly hold on to that patience. Tightly hold on to it. To the faith and the love of Jesus Christ that He offered you. And guard it well, for it is a splendid God-given gift that you received from the Holy Spirit who lives within you. Follow all the rules for doing His work. Follow all the rules and receive your payment. Don't forget these wonderful facts. Thank you for tuning in today. God bless you. Remember, you are God's people. Patient teachers, be humble. Teach those who are mixed up. I hope to see you again tomorrow. God bless you.